If you have a chance, I will say this now and I'll say it again later. If you have a chance, please stop by the back tables there and take a look at what's going on. Have a chat with Mark. He's an amazing guy. I had the privilege of meeting him in one day a couple months back. And Jay Calder, I chatted with him on the phone. A couple of great guys. And it's crazy, though. We have a lot of people from Ontario coming our way. Jay is from Ontario. Mark, I think, is from Ontario. We have Angie's mom here from Ontario. We have Renee here from Ontario. And so God has brought them to the promised land. So good to have you. Good to have you here. Jay, without further ado, come on up and share what the Lord has laid on your heart. Looking forward to it.
Wow. I want to get you folks to, I'm going to get you to bless one another. And just before you do anything, I need to give you some instructions. Unless you're really weirded out by this, in which case, just close your eyes and pretend you're praying, and most people will leave you alone. If you'd like to participate, this is what we're going to do. I want you to turn to someone close to you, maybe the person right beside you, and just say this. Not yet, just wait. Just say, I bless you with peace in Jesus' name, believing that he will. Amen? Because he will. He will. And then reciprocate, okay? So as long as somebody blesses me, you're released to do that. So go ahead. I bless you with peace in Jesus' name. Okay, that's enough. If you're not blessed by now, that is so your problem. Thank you. Thanks. Bless you. I bless you with peace in Jesus' name. This is sort of a tender moment in the service we've come to now, so I'm going to get you to turn to one another again. Just go ahead, somebody beside you, go ahead. Just look them in the eye and say, "You have fabulous eyebrows." Did you do that? Just go ahead. Okay, I know what you're thinking. Oh, boy, I sure hope he plays a Christmas carol. So I will, so you can relax. This is, if I can get this in tune, this is going to be my version of The Little Drummer Boy, and I do play this all year and in a lot of places, so stop looking at me like that. This is something of a testimony song, and there's a long life-changing story that goes with it that I'm not going to tell you because I have some other things that I think I'm supposed to share this morning. So I'll just say that for those of you that are familiar with the Christmas carol, The Little Drummer Boy, and you know the story of it, I relate to the little guy in the story really well. And God has been good to me. You know, what else do I need to tell you this morning? The Lord has been extremely good to this guy. This is what someone looks like who is the recipient of huge, huge grace, huge undeserved favor, and huge mercy. And I don't actually have a whole lot of money by North American standards. I know you're shocked. I'm a musician. Used to be a pastor. Sorry, pastor, wherever you are. Neither of these career choices were based on economics. That's what I'm trying to say. And yet, the Lord has been extremely good to me and my family. We have a good father. Amen? We have a good papa, a really good daddy. And so even though maybe no one on my street would be really impressed with my bank account, I truly believe I'm an extremely, extremely wealthy man. Would anyone else say the same? Or woman? Yeah, the Lord is good. So this is in gratitude to the giver of all good gifts. My Lord and Savior Jesus, the Anointed One. Well, I'm trying to get this in tune. I think I'm pretty close, but I did just want to say thank you to Nathan and Bob. Projectionists and sound people seldom get any attention unless something's going dreadfully wrong. And we just want to say bless you. Thank you for ministering to us and ministering to the Lord. Amen? Yeah, so. Thanks so much. Most people like to sing along with that one. I'm not really sure what's wrong with you guys. If you have a Bible with you, would you turn with me to Matthew 18? And we're going to get right into the scriptures, right into the word this morning. It's going to take me a little while to get to Matthew 18. Got some scriptures to look at on the way, but we will end up there. I want to share with you this morning a little tiny bit of a huge, huge topic, and it's honoring the ones that God honors. And this is a really, really big deal. And one of the reasons that I need to be reminded of this frequently is that so often the ones God honors in Scripture, okay, and let me preface this by saying, so you know that I'm on the same page that you are on, I hope. The love that the Lord has for all of humanity, the love that God has for every person on the planet right now, including every person in this sanctuary at this very moment, is beyond what we could express. It's off the scale, yeah? Absolutely is. But in Scripture, there actually are people, individuals and groups of people, who really do seem to get more of the Lord's attention. And we're going to focus on some of that this morning. The fact that there are those that the Lord especially honors. And when I actually go out of my way to honor them as well, it's a big deal to the Lord. So on our way to Matthew 18, one of those groups of people is found in Matthew 25. You can turn there if you want, or you don't have to. We're not going to spend much long there. But I mentioned Matthew 25 because of a group of people who you may have heard of. And Jesus is speaking in Matthew 25, and he talks about this group of people he calls the least of these. Anyone familiar with that expression? The least of these. And for our purposes this morning, by the way, and I know this is not a complete definition, but the least of these is someone who can't pay me back. Pretty simple, okay? I know that's there's more to it than that. Bible scholars would say, hey, there's more. For what we're talking about this morning, that'll do. Jesus is talking about someone who can't pay me back in Matthew 25. And he actually says, keep in mind who's speaking here. This is the King of Kings. This is the Lord of Lords who cannot lie, all right? This is the way, the truth, the life himself. And he says to me, Jay, and you can insert your name there, there's actually going to come a day in history, for real, an actual day, where there's going to be this separation between those that the Lord calls the sheep and those he calls the goats. And this is very, very challenging to those of us like myself who would consider ourselves evangelical believers. Because we're saved by grace. Amen? And grace, and at least a beginning understanding of grace, is undeserved favor. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, it says, for you, it is by grace, undeserved favor from God, that you have been saved through faith. And even that, the faith to believe, is a gift from God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. So even the faith to believe is a gift that the Lord has given me. Yeah? There's nothing I can lay claim to say, oh, I was so clever to become a Christian. The goodness of God is overwhelming. And in fact, the scripture teaches we're going to spend the eternity plumbing the depths of the grace of God, and we're never going to get to the end of it. So the normal definition that we use, it means undeserved favor. That's true, but that's just the beginning, because we're talking about God's goodness. Amen, 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 amen. So in Matthew 25, this is why it's so challenging, and I'm not going to spend long to unpack this, but I need to mention it. The Lord says there's actually going to come a day when there's going to be a separation between those the Lord calls the sheep and those the Lord calls the goats. And you know what the basis of that separation is? Jay, how did you respond to the least of these? What does that have to do with grace? Okay, this is what I mean. This is challenging. There's mystery here, and I do not claim to fully understand this. But I also don't have permission to cut sections of my Bible out because I find them troubling. Right? And Jesus is speaking. Jay, there's actually, so go on from there. This is also the passage where Jesus says, the way that I treat the least of these, or those who can't pay me back, specifically the poor, all right, this is where Jesus says, there's this on this day where this is going to be the separation, I will actually say, says Jesus, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was naked, you clothed me. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I was in prison, and you visited me, and on and on and on it goes. And then Jesus himself, in so many words, tells me he takes these things personally. It's that big a deal to God. And he actually says these words, I'm telling you the truth, friends. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, says Jesus, you actually, for real, literally did that for me. And I really want to drive that home because there's been some weird teaching around that passage. I just want to emphasize that Jesus is not being poetic here. This is not a metaphor, okay? He says, look, friends, this is reality. All of heaven sees it this way. Whatever you've done for one of the least of these, you actually did that for me. Yeah. What an amazing promise from the Lord. Does that sound like worship to anyone else, by the way? A life of worship outside the walls of this beautiful sanctuary? Yeah. It's a promise from the Lord. Whatever you did for one, you actually did that for me, says Jesus. Oh, what an invitation. Beautiful, beautiful. And I have to emphasize that I understand that in this sanctuary right now, there are people whose lives I just described. And what I mean is, even if I don't know you personally, I get it that a lot of you right here in front of me, you're all about pouring yourself out for others all the time. You're looking after someone or you're ministering to someone or someone's on a regular basis. And it would never enter your mind that you're doing that for what you can get off the relationship. You with me? It's not about that, is it? No, it's about the love that the Lord has for this individual through you. I would go so far as to say this, and this is Bible, friends. If you have been born again, and I'm speaking to all of us this morning as if we all have, okay? As if you already have a relationship with the Lord, with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not an exaggeration to say that it actually is the Lord in you loving someone outside of you. So I'll illustrate this way. It's all about me, right? But something that's been happening to me frequently of late, because I travel so much and I share with so many different church groups all over the country, and sometimes some of them are massive, right? Their churches in Alberta, they're like their own little city. And I don't know anybody. Some of you I know a little bit, but I'll go to some of these places. I don't know a soul, and I'll be sharing, and all of a sudden I'm just struck with this, like, oh my goodness, I love these people. And I'm not that nice. Really. And the Lord will remind me, say, Jay, it's all true. I really, truly do indwell you. Isn't that neat? And the Lord says, I'm letting you in on this much, Jay, of how I feel about these people, both as a group and individuals. Isn't that neat? And I know many of you have had similar experiences, especially when you meet someone you've never met before, and all of a sudden there's this compassion that wells up in you. I truly believe, friends, that is the Lord. Isn't that neat? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's good. So whatever you've done for one of the least of these, Matthew 25, Jesus says, you really actually did that for me. And then there's a very sobering warning on the other side of it, where he says, Jay, whatever you didn't do for one of the least of these that you could have done, well, you didn't do that for me. We're going to focus on the first part this morning, the time that we have, okay? So there's this massive group of people that the Lord calls the least of these who cannot pay me back. And to some extent, I qualify. I mean, as if I could ever pay the Lord back, right? So at least in that sense, I qualify as being among the least of these. But under that huge category of people worldwide, in the Gospels, so that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we call those the Gospels, right? Jesus himself frequently gives even more attention to a subcategory of the least of these. They're a group of people that they're among the least of these, but they get even more attention. They really do seem to get more than their share of airtime. And you may not have noticed that, but you will now. Who am I talking about? Anybody? In the Gospels, from Jesus himself. It's children. Children. You may never notice. Next time you're reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you will see, you'll be struck with just how many times Jesus talks about kids. Why? Could it be because they figure so prominently in the heart of the Father? In God's economy, children are up here. No, they can't do anything for you. They can't pay you back. They're powerless, right? Whatever you've done for one of the least of these, Jesus said, you actually, for real, did that for me. And as I mentioned this, a lot of you, there are scriptures that are coming to mind about children, yeah? Let the little children come to me. Forbid them not, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these, Jesus says. And he speaks to adults, and he says, you can't even get in. You can't even enter my kingdom, says Jesus, unless you humble yourself and become like a little child in your heart. And on and on and on and on and on. So many other ones. Well, Matthew 18 is one of those passages where Jesus is specifically talking about children. And I was going to jump right down to verse 10. Even before we do that, I just want to mention verse 5, only because it's so reminiscent of what I mentioned earlier in Matthew 25. Remember, Jesus says, whatever you have done for one of the least of these, they don't have a hope of paying you back, and it's not about that. But whatever you've done for one of the least of these, you actually did that for me. Look what Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 5. He says, whoever welcomes a little child like this, he's talking about wee little kids, whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name actually, for real, literally welcomes me, says the King of Kings. Isn't that cool? And so all of a sudden, children's ministry and helping out in the nursery takes on a whole new import, doesn't it? No one told me to say that, by the way. But isn't it amazing? Think about a little kid. This is who Jesus is talking about. We little children. What can they do for you? Not a whole lot. They're not likely to introduce you to influential people. You know, they're not going to advance your career. They're not going to add to your bank. They're going to drain your bank account. That's what they're called to do, and they fulfill their calling so well. But they have no power. But, okay, jump down to verse 10, and I want you to see something here. Matthew 18, verse 10. And I want to impress you with my Greek prowess here. I won't call it a miracle, but it is grace that I passed 2 years of Greek. That is amazing. I'm familiar with souvlaki. I know which books to go to look things up, okay? And that's helpful. Verse 10 of Matthew 18, are you ready to be impressed? It's in the imperative tense. That's it. So I won't impress you anymore after that today. It's in the imperative tense. The reason that actually is important, and it is because that means this is actually a command. You with me? So this is Jesus himself speaking to his disciples. How many here are disciples, followers of Jesus? Me too. And he's commanding this. This is not a suggestion. This is not a helpful hint from the Lord. He commands this, and yet, it is the strangest command. He says, see to it that you do not look down on any of these little ones. Talking about wee little kids. One translation is even stronger. He says, see to it that you don't despise any of these little... Does anybody else have the same initial reaction that I do upon reading that? It's like, okay, that's just a really strange command, Lord. I like kids. Kids are okay, you know, especially my kids. A couple of things about this. I believe that the Lord would say, even in 2018, first of all, and I'm not kidding, it sounds like a joke, but he is not talking about your children. That really is different, and that's because of the way God has wired you. You really, truly have been created in the image of God. So there's not a lot most of us wouldn't do for our children, right? When they're, especially wee little children. Isn't it astonishing the love that you can have for your child? True story. Or grandchild, or great-grandchild, if you're at that stage of life, right? The Lord is not talking about your child. I mean, I know this is really profound, but if your kid has a runny nose, that can actually be cute. You ever notice that? If it's somebody else's kid? It's gross. So don't look down on the kids, but I believe more importantly than that he's not talking about your children, the Lord would say, even in 2018, as sophisticated as we think we are, the Lord would say to us, for most of the planet, children are not held in very high esteem. They really aren't. For most of the planet, they're tolerated at best. Why? Because they can't do anything for you. They're not going to benefit you in any way that we see with our eyes. And so the Lord says, don't look down on them. And then he explains his command, and he doesn't need to. This is the King of Kings. He doesn't need to explain a command to us, but so often he does. Here he does, in this instance, but the explanation is so strange. And it's also shrouded in mystery, and there's that which is sacred about it. But he says, okay, don't look down on the kids. And then he gives the reason why. He says, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What does that have? one have to do with the other? Remember I said there's mystery here? I believe what we can take from this for certain, there's a number of things I believe about this passage, but I would have to confess to Bible scholars it's by conjecture. And I believe the Lord is inferring some things. I won't go there. I won't take time to go there. I'm just going to tell you what is not by conjecture because the Lord says it in so many words. Heaven has invested everything in these kids to the point that they have been assigned actual created heavenly beings. Remember who's speaking, by the way, because this is very, very strange, and yet it's Jesus who's saying this thing, these things. They've been assigned created heavenly beings for real. Elsewhere in Scripture, they're called the elect angels, right? Hebrews chapter 1, it says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. And Jesus is saying, these angels around these children on a regular basis see the face of the Father in the fullness of his glory. Don't mess with the kids. There's more going on than you're aware of. I really honestly believe that's one of the main points I can take from this. See, Lord Jesus, this I'm not sure I fully understand. He says, that's good that you recognize that. There's more going on than meets the eye. Most of you, most of the time, says Jesus, will not see these angels. Most of you, most of the time, will not be aware of their presence at all. And that's precisely why I'm telling you, says the Lord. They actually are there. They actually, for real, are around these little children who cannot do anything for you. Isn't that something? I have to press on for the sake of time. Going on from there, the Lord says, and what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep, and by the way, this is a familiar passage to a lot of you, I know. Just keep in mind that Jesus has not changed the subject. He's still talking about children. Yes, he is. In Matthew 18, he still is when he says this. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he's happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost or should perish. Amen, amen, amen. How many have heard of D.L. Moody? Do you recognize the name D.L. Moody? Well, lots of you. Wonderful. Okay, I have a list of Christian heroes. He's right up there. He's on the list for sure. D.L. Moody was just a great, well, man of God. I'll just call him that, all right? He lived in the 1800s, if you're not familiar with him. He died in 1899, so he is in heaven, and we will meet him there. Amen? I love this. I love it. We're going to actually meet D.L. Moody. But I want you to consider this. This one man in his lifetime, in the 1800s, so obviously way before the media we have, way before the travel we have today, he personally led thousands and thousands and thousands of people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? One guy in the 1800s. I just let that percolate for a moment. Every time I think of D.L. Moody, I think of John 15, the vine and the branches. That's where Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. But if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will, it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Much fruit is leading thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people to faith in Jesus before the internet. Yeah? And by the way, we will meet those people in heaven for real. By the thousands, actually by the tens of thousands, and they'll come up to us and say, I was led to faith in Jesus through that man over there. See that guy way over there? That's D.L. Moody. You should go shake his hand. He's a good man. Isn't that amazing? And yet he made this statement. This is why I mentioned him. As an old man looking back on his life, D.L. Moody said this. He says, if I could relive my life, I would devote my entire ministry to reaching children for God. Let me try this out over here. If I could relive my life, okay, so says a man who's already led thousands and thousands. Most of us would agree, yeah, that's a really fruitful life. Yeah? And he says, if I could do it over, I would devote my entire ministry, 100%, to reaching children for God. Wow. Does that sound like the Lord, by the way? To me, it does, because it's not something we would come up with. You know, if we got a bunch of really smart people around a table, let's brainstorm about church growth strategies. I don't know if too many of us would say, well, what we need to do is just pour our lives out for the children. But that's what D.L. Moody concluded after years and years of seeing God move so powerfully through his life, right? And he'd also seen with his own eyes over and over again the incredible impact that it has on families and communities and ultimately on nations when children come to know Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. A really wise man years ago, this maybe you've heard this lots of times, it was new to me, said to me, Jay, when a child is born again, God does not give that child a junior Holy Spirit. Ever heard that before? A lot of implications to that statement, but to me the main point is when a child comes to know Jesus, they really do come to know Jesus. Amen? They really have entered into an internal relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yeah. All that to say, it is a tremendous honor for me to be representing the Ministry of Compassion Canada here this morning. And I am not an employee of Compassion, so I can say whatever I want. And I love these people. In my opinion, they are doing what D.L. Moody said he wished he would have done. Yeah? Absolutely. Pouring their lives out for the children. 100%, I'm talking about in the field, wherever they minister around the planet, pouring their lives into these kids. But friends, when you see what the Lord is doing as a result of this, it is off the scale. Any way you can measure it, it's just mind-boggling because God's hand is all over this, and that's what I want to share with you in the remaining time. I want to share about some of these things. There are two distinctives of Compassion's ministry that I really feel like I'm supposed to emphasize here. There are many things I could say, but out of those things, there's two that I need to drive home. And the first is by far the most important thing that I could tell you about Compassion and what they do. And that is their absolute commitment to evangelism and discipleship. All right? Yes, they're involved in aid and ministering to physical needs. Absolutely. But they have a calling from God to evangelism and discipleship. To put this in perspective, just based on the numbers of what's been happening through their ministry over the years, right up until this moment, okay? Just based on statistics, I can tell you with absolute confidence that the vast, vast majority of those kids whose pictures are on the tables out there, how many saw the pictures on the tables? Yeah, okay. And by the way, you know here that those children really are waiting to be sponsored for real at this moment, okay? Every one of those pictures is a real child really waiting to be sponsored. Okay, just based on the numbers, the vast majority of those kids, once they are sponsored, listen, they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Oh, come on. This is missions, man. This is missions. Think of the implications of what I just said. This is for real. I know I'm a broken record, but friends, we're going to see those kids in heaven. Yay, God. For real. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That was it. That was a big thing I wanted to share. So see ya. The second distinctive, I was a pastor. I was a senior pastor for 9 years, so I get really jazzed about this. If you don't, that's okay, seriously. But this is something that's impacted my wife, Sandy, and me so much, and it's their commitment to the local church. And what I mean by that is in the field, and again, this is part of their calling from the Lord. In the field, they only work through the local church. And the way that I usually describe this to people is if you can imagine with me a struggling pastor in a developing nation, okay? And he's got hopes and dreams for his community. He wants to see God move there. He wants to see lots of people come to know Jesus. So same as you do here, okay? But in his case, maybe he can barely provide for his own family. And you can imagine how that takes up the lion's share of his time and his effort and his energy, right? Listen to this. That pastor partners with Compassion. Within 3 to 4 years, his church is now 3 times the size that it was. Have you ever heard of something like this? And I still have trouble getting my head around this, and they're saying, Jay, that's average. 300% growth, 3 to 4 years at the most. What? But listen to this. That's conversion growth. Have you ever heard of anything like this? I love my home church more than I can tell you. They're very supportive. They had a commissioning service for me, sent me off, laid hands on me and sent me off, and there's people praying for me all the time. There will be people praying for you this morning at my home church, which is kind of neat. As much as I love them, I can't imagine what my church would even look like if 3 or 4 years from today, it was 3 times the size it is today for no other reason than all of these people coming to know Jesus. But that's what's happening through this ministry. Isn't that amazing? See, because what's happening is the children, not always, but most of the time, these kids are coming to know the Lord, but then very often their whole family does. The churches are exploding. It's wonderful. I have to tell you something that happened to Sandy and me. We got to go and visit one of our sponsored kids in the Dominican Republic. His name's Jordani. Great little guy. And I have so many stories. I just have to shrink this. And so that's the end. I'm not going to apologize anymore, okay? Just so you know, there are lots of Jordani stories. I don't have time for much at all. But we spent most of the day with him at the church where everything's going on. That's where they have their curriculum and all the programming that's going on. But then we walked with Jordani and a translator and a photographer and a videographer. I don't know if there was anyone else, but a few people. We walked back to Jordani's home and we met mom and his sisters. And what's really neat is his dad is still in the picture. And some of you that have been to the poorer parts of Dominican know what I'm talking about. That it's part of the macho culture. It is not cool. It is not good. It's really common once children come along for dad to leave. And so, but praise God, he hasn't left. He's there. Here's the thing. This is what I wanted to get to. Sandy and I were given opportunity to pray with mommy and daddy for them to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Isn't God good? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I just want to emphasize something to you. There was no persuading at all. The way I often think of it was like leading someone to Jesus. It wasn't like that. If anything, it was more like I walked under a tree and a piece of fruit fell in my hand. The biggest concern I had, seriously, was I didn't want to put pressure on these dear people. And so through the translator, I'm just saying to them, look, we love you guys no matter what. And they said, no, we want Jesus now. So I got down, knelt down on their floor and led them through some scriptures. We prayed through some scriptures about believing and confession and repentance and receiving. But, you know, now it's not just Jordani and his sisters, but mommy and daddy have come to know Jesus, and they're a dear brother and sister in the Lord. Isn't God amazing? Yeah. Thank you, Lord. See? And we really will be in heaven together. I love it so much. I love it so much. Here's the thing. Sandy would say the same. We both thought of Lydia. I don't know if some of you know that name, Lydia, but Acts 16, there's this woman named Lydia. It says, the Lord opened Lydia's heart to receive Paul's message so that she could believe. I love that. This is totally what happened. The Lord had opened the hearts of these dear people long before Jay and Sandy showed up. Okay? I just want to emphasize that. We got to be present. That's my claim to fame. We got to be there, right? I really believe the Lord wanted Jay and Sandy there so we could see with our own eyes what God's doing through this ministry all over the planet. See, back to the hypothetical pastor that I mentioned whose church is now, you know, three times the size that it was because of all these people who have come to know Jesus. He is now held in really high esteem in his community. And this story repeats itself over and over and over and over and over, wherever they're ministering, all over the planet. His church has become the go-to place for anybody in need in that community. And why? Why is that? Because everybody knows. You go over there, those people, they love you over there. Unconditionally. But it's also become the go-to place for all of these adults who are coming to the church, coming to the pastor, and saying, I don't know what happened to my child, you know, who's in your program, but they've changed. Like, in a really good way, we're happy about it. And I don't know what it is that you have. But I know I desperately need it too. What must I do to be saved? Cool? It is. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Well, they've sent along a video. Nathan, we're going to show it this time if we can. It's about 2.5 hours long. So I hope you're really comfy. It's about 3.5 minutes, okay? And then we'll continue.
I am Jennifer Gitiri, and I'm from Kenya. Growing up with a single parent in the slum was very, very difficult for me. Really living hand to mouth, because if my mom went to look for employment or even wash other people's clothes, if she came in the evening with $1, that's what we would use to buy a meal and eat at that particular time. If we wake up tomorrow, there's nothing to eat, then we'd take a glass of water and run to school. But Compassion, I opened a project at a church near our home. And for the first time as a young girl, I saw hope. Compassion provided for everything. They gave me books. When I was sick, Compassion would pay for my medical care. And I'm also thankful to my sponsor, who was very, very encouraging. You know, just writing letters of encouragement, telling me that you can make it, you can do it. Your past should not determine your future. I believe my sponsors were God sent.
When we wrote to Jennifer, it was important to let her know that we really cared about her. I just said what a mother would say. You know, we're so proud of you. We're so proud that your grade card is good and that you've done such a good job.
I remember vividly our neighbor's child was raped. The child was 10 years. And these were the kind of things that I saw growing up that really made me decide to be a lawyer, someone who could speak for the rights of those who cannot speak for themselves. The beginning of this year, I joined the Kenya School of Law so that now I can be admitted into the bar and become an advocate in the High Court of Kenya. This summer, I went to the United States of America to be an advocate. I shared passionately about my story and how my sponsors had made a difference in my life, and they were brought on stage.
Here they are.
It was life-changing just to see those two people who'd sacrificed their resources, who used to pray for me, who used to encourage me. So for me to see these two people was just amazing.
Compassion gave us the opportunity to reach halfway around the world to rescue one little girl from whatever the future might have had in store for her.
It makes me cry all the time when I think of how far God has brought me, you know, from the ditches of poverty to this.
Today I am here as proof that indeed compassion releases children from poverty in Jesus' name. My children will never live in poverty. My children will know the word of God. And when I look at the packet at the compassion booth, my heart is broken, because 17 years ago, my faith was in that packet.
So good. So good. Quick update on Jennifer. I have to tell you this. Not only is she a lawyer, she has two master's degrees, she's working on her doctorate, and she has a position of significant influence with the Kenyan government. Does that sound like something God might do? Isn't that amazing? Think of her background. You know what she said when I was a little girl. If mom brought home a dollar, we would eat on that particular day. If not, we'd have a glass of water and run to school. And look what God's doing. Yay, God. I love this so, so much. There's a tendency with these things. I can still get really wiped out with this stuff. And so I just wanted to mention this because I think there are people here who relate to this. There's a tendency sometimes to be so overwhelmed with the size of the need that we can get frozen in place. And some of you are far better versed than I in terms of the really sobering statistics, you know, of how many children perished yesterday from malnutrition and preventable diseases and all that. Not last year, yesterday. How many thousands, right? And for me, if I focus on that exclusively, I can get bent out of shape. And I just want to frozen. Equally as true, and I believe this is healthy to focus on, is because equally as true as the very sobering statistics is that in this sanctuary right now, at this very moment, I know many of you are being instrumental in seeing lives completely transformed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know this because you're already sponsoring kids. And so part of the reason I'm here is to say thank you, thank you, thank you, bless you in the name of the Lord. You are having a huge impact. It's not just a picture on the fridge. I think that's the orthodox place for the picture. But lives truly are being turned around in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So way to go. Well done. I worked it out. I'm not great at math, but I did work it out. It costs $1.36 a day to sponsor a child, see their life completely turned around, probably for eternity, if it's through this ministry of compassion. $1.36 a day. It's actually considerably less than that if you pay income tax. Anybody here pay income tax? I'll get to that in a moment. But for our purposes, $1.36. Here's a child who has very little hope for any kind of future, like Jennifer was. That same child is sponsored, and friends, they really are thriving. And they're learning about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for them The Word of God is going into them. It's amazing. Sandy and I, one of our favorite verses is Jeremiah 29:11. Anyone know that one? "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not harm you." We have a good Father. Yeah? Plans to give you a hope and a future. And there it is, right in front of our eyes in the lives of these children that we sponsor. $1.36. What's a medium double-double? From Tim Hortons, medium double-double. Most parts of the country, it's about $1.70. Is that what it is out here? About that? I don't know. $1.70 for my coffee, $1.36. Starbucks is infinitely more, actually, but worth it, is my opinion. But here's a thought. Just had an epiphany moment. If you regularly buy your coffee from Starbucks, you should consider sponsoring a village. Okay, I got to hurry up with this. So Sandy and I went to our accountant, self-employed, so we have an accountant that does my taxes every year. We had been sponsoring kids for years and years and years. I never even thought of this. I don't even know how many years. Number of kids we'd been sponsoring. At the time, we were sponsoring 4 children. I'm just glad that we can. But I'm not usually on this channel, but I finally clued in, ask. So I did. When she was done doing our taxes, I said, "Could you punch in some more numbers with your fancy software? If I were not sponsoring these 4 children, what would be the difference in my tax refund?" And friends, all these years, I never knew this, but I haven't been spending $1.36 each day for each of these kids we sponsor. It's more like 70 cents. Did you know that? I didn't. All these years, I didn't know. I pay 51%, I get 49% back. Isn't that wild? To say it another way, for me to sponsor 2 children costs about the same as I thought I'd been spending all this time to sponsor 1. There's a word for somebody. Yeah. I just blurted it out in the accountant's office. As soon as she told us this, I said, "Oh my goodness, we got to sponsor some more kids." And so we did. We got a few more, and Jordani was one of them. And now he and his sisters and his mom and dad have come to know the Lord. Yeah. And there was another one, his name's Mateo, and I'm not going to take time to tell you stories about Mateo, other than he lives in Colombia, and we got to go visit him as well, and he's come to know Jesus. Yeah, there's a good-looking group right there. Mateo has come to know Jesus, so yay, God. He's just turned 11. He's an 11-year-old Colombian boy who regularly prays for me and my ministry. So by extension, he's praying for you today. Isn't that neat? Yeah, I love that. Sandy and I have 4 kids of our own. They're older now, so 3 of them are married, and I'm going to be a grandpa. Woo! So excited. Wow. Thank you. Yeah, I don't know when, but I figure it's bound to happen eventually. You've been so patient. I'm just making sure you're still awake, okay? Sandy and I actually, we have 5 grandkids. Another one on the way. True story. Remember I said I'm a wealthy man? Yeah. The Lord has been so good to us. But our kids and spouses, at last count, they were up to 8 more children that they're sponsoring. Isn't that cool? These are young adults starting families, right? If you were to ask them, "Why do you do that? Why do you sponsor children?" They'd answer the same way I would. They'd say, why would I not? Really? The Lord has been so good. This is such a little thing, and yet it so represents his heart. In our family, it really has become an act of worship, and I love that. It was pointed out to me, I'm almost finished, it was pointed out to me that in the Old and New Testament, there are more than 2,000 references to God's heart for the poor and justice issues. That's true. More than 2,000. And the reason that I mention that is because I've had so many people, well-meaning people, okay? Just don't hear me criticizing because I'm not. Hearts of gold come up to me at events all across Canada. So many people come up and say, "Jay, I need to pray about this. I need to pray about sponsoring a child." And you know what my response to that is? Wonderful. Because most of the things I can think of, most of the time, it's a really good idea to take it to the Lord. Yeah? And I just want to be clear. But if by that, I'm saying, I need to ask God if it's his will for me to take a tiny part of my resources to help minister to the poor and tell them about Jesus, what do I think he's going to say? Just saying. Especially when he's already given his opinion more than 2,000 times, right? Now, please don't misunderstand. There are a lot of good reasons to pray about this. There really are. for Sandy and me, it's usually how many more today? That's how it's been lately. But seriously, there are reasons to pray about this. But sometimes we can get kind of goofy. And I would just add to that, this is only my experience, but I can't remember ever in my whole life crying out to God and saying, "Oh God, oh Lord, is it your will for me to buy this cup of coffee as I go through the drive-thru today?" I'm not trying to be mean at all. I want to bless you. But that does, for me, that gives perspective. Yeah, I really like coffee. But I can't remember ever praying about that one. In my case, that cup of coffee, even from Tim Hortons, costs considerably more than twice what it would cost me to sponsor a child today. Yeah, again, just perspective. So listen, if you don't sponsor kids yet, that's okay. But you can take care of that today. And I would encourage you to please don't run off after the service. Would you go to the tables and choose your child, and they'll sign you up. They've made it so easy. You don't need to have any money with you today. There is this guitar guy back there, and I'm glad I remembered this. They really want me to encourage that we not put it off. So if we can start the sponsorship right away, what we're going to do is we're going to just make up a list from the church, I guess. And I just want you to see that you, if you want one, I want you to have a CD. And that's just to say thank you. So we're going to send a whole shipment of CDs to the church. If you already sponsor kids, oh, and by the way, just anecdote here, but if you sponsor 10 kids, I'll give you 10 CDs. And you would not be the first, you would not be the fifth to do that. And I'm serious. If you already sponsor kids, bless you. It's huge. It would be extremely difficult to overstate the impact you're having. It really is that big a deal. I know it's hard to believe because it seems like such a little thing. It's huge. Well done. But here's the challenge. Would you consider another one? Or more if you can, you know, but at least take home a kid you didn't come with today. Surprise your friends. Pastor, I'm pretty much done. One thing and then some housekeeping. So I don't know if the band wants to come up, but you know, you can say things to people you like or family that you would never say to other people. I want to emphasize, this is something the Lord is putting on me, especially this last year, me and my family. I will often leave a church where I've shared some of the things that I share with you today, and I'll be having a conversation with the Lord. And I'll be just saying, Lord Jesus, you know, there's people there today that they could be sponsoring 5 kids so easily, 10 kids, and they wouldn't even feel it. Like, it wouldn't even be the tiniest drop in the bucket. And before you start throwing things, I get it that is none of my business. It's not. And I don't want to know, okay? That's between them and the Lord. This is what God's putting on me, and honestly, on my wife and my kids lately, just to ask this question. Maybe I should be sponsoring kids until I do feel it. At least a tiny little bit. And why is that such a strange thought to North American Christians? Because it wouldn't be if we were in the Philippines right now or many other parts of the world, yeah? But the idea that it would actually... What did David say? King David, about a life in God and specifically a life of worship. He says, I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing. Amen? So listen, I thank you so much for this opportunity to share. You've been wonderful. Bless you, bless you, bless you. And this is the housekeeping matter, and then I really am done. It's just if at the end of the service, if there's a big crowd of people around the tables so that you can't get there right away, would you join me in saying, praise God? Like, what a great problem to have, yeah? And let's be patient, and let's stick around until we can take care of it. It really is that important. Thanks so much. God bless you, and hope to see you at the tables after the service.
Worship team, come on up as well. And thank you, Jay. And again, so Pat and I don't sponsor any children at this point, but what we decided is sometimes our kids, they talk about wanting a brother and a sister. And we decided that this is the way we're going to fill that need, is we're going to sponsor 2 children, and so they can each have a sister and a brother to add to it. And the really cool thing is what we've done with Mark and kind of set it up is Compassion is really great with being setting up a visit with your sponsored child. And so if you want to sponsor a child and go and visit them, you can do that. And so what we've done is we've selected Mexico, as there's other countries that you can choose from, but we've selected Mexico because it's a closer, a little bit closer, a little less expensive, and it doesn't take you 2 or 3 days to travel there. You can generally do it in a day. And so if you want to sponsor a child in Mexico that you can go visit, they will set it up at some point. If there's enough of us, they will set up a group tour. In fact, Mark is taking 24 people to go see one of their sponsored children in March. And so that's available as well. So please take note. What an awesome opportunity. And again, why we're excited as a church about this is because they're meeting more than just the physical need and the emotional need, but they're meeting the spiritual need as well. And that's absolutely important. We know that there's a need that needs to be, their physical needs need to be met. Their emotional needs need to be met. And the great thing is, on top of that, their spiritual needs are being met as well. So let's just pray, and then the worship team will close out the service this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for giving us the privilege of being so wealthy in the world standard. And Father, what an opportunity, what a privilege. Thank you for your word, and thank you that in your word you show us the importance that children have on you, and they're important to you, not only the children, but the poor. And so, God, again, I pray that your will would be done, that you would be honored and glorified. And Father, if we are able to, then God, I pray that you would just lay it upon our hearts today to stand in the back, wait in the back if necessary, and Father, that we would be able to bless some children through this. And Father, that it would be a blessing to you, of course. And Father, thank you for this time. And God, we just pray your richest blessing on each one of us. Thank you for your word. And God, that as we go from here, that you would be honored and glorified in all that is said and done. Pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let's